we're grading on a curve, right? Because it's D.C. and this is the only way you get to do this without having to get 60 votes in the Senate. So President Trump wanted it by his desk by July 4th. They got it there. I you know, people keep doubting Mike Johnson's ability to tactically lead the House, and I think he keeps proving them wrong over and over again. Obviously, he has a tremendous amount of help from the White House. But, I mean, as is always the case with these things, there's good and bad in them. But overall, I mean, this, the extension of the tax cuts and doing the and doing what was accomplished in that bill is so important for North Dakota. It's really hard to explain. Politically, there's a little bit, I think the problem is because what you're if they didn't do it, it would have been the largest tax hike in history with Republican control. But it's extending current benefits that are already essential to small businesses, farmers, ag producers, energy producers, everybody who does business in North Dakota. The political problem is it's not new. It's making sure that good policy is now permanent. So we'll see how it all plays out, but we were pretty happy about it. We did a deal with Hovind last week, and we're pretty excited to move forward on it.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the energy stuff. Let me start, though, on Medicaid, because most of the rhetoric from the Democrats has been how horrific this is going to be. Literally, you had Hakeem Jeffries saying this will rip food from kids' mouths. People are going to die. I mean, they just went to DEFCON 5 on the rhetoric against this. There's a lot of state involvement in the Medicaid issue. What's your take on the picture of Medicaid that came out of this and what ultimately will impact North Dakota?
Well, the first part of this is, one, remember, a lot of this has to do with the provider tax. That's why Senator Tillis was so up in arms. North Dakota doesn't have one, so it doesn't affect us that way. Second of all, requiring work requirements and states to introduce metrics to that for able-bodied adults who could be in the workforce is a good policy. It's a good policy for SNAP. It's a good policy for Medicaid. It's a good policy for government in general. Third, which was the new piece put in, which was the rural hospital relief valve fund. I think North Dakota is going to get somewhere around $500 million for that if necessary. And so I think we're protected from it significantly more because we've been good stewards. We haven't been gaming the Medicaid provider tax system. And so, I mean, our questions with our congressional delegation were more about implementation, and we'd met with our Medicaid director, our HHS people, and we think North Dakota can implement this and we'll be able to do it well.
By implement it, what are you implementing?
Well, just whenever you make changes at the federal level, you have to, like, my concern isn't that we're requiring work requirements. My concern is how do we comply with a federal requirement to work requirements? Like, what are they going to need from us to ensure that we're doing that in an appropriate way? But like I said, we don't have a provider tax. So and the provider tax, like if you're at 6.5% on the provider tax at a state level, you're really gaming the system. And we just don't have that effect in North Dakota. So the things that a lot of people were really, really upset about don't affect our state the same way.
Yeah. And as far as work requirements, do you agree with them, and do you see anything as far as your Medicaid folks having challenges with complying?
Well, I mean, whenever the feds put something in, you want to make sure it's user-friendly at the state level. But no, I think overall the conversation about the dignity of work, whether you're on government programs or a 17-year-old that getting a summer job, is incredibly important to how we move forward as a society, move forward as a workforce, move forward as how we utilize government dollars to help people. And if you're able to work and you're on government assistance, you should have to work. Our unemployment rate in North Dakota is extraordinarily low. We have 20 to 30,000 open jobs. And if you are capable of working in the workforce, whether it's 20 hours a week, whether it's 30 hours a week, and you have the ability to do that, you should have to do that to receive government benefits.
Is that a cut to Medicare, or is that a better use of federal dollars, state dollars, the funding of it, that ultimately will put people in the workforce where they can get health care? I mean, they're talking about ripping people off of health care, but is that a cut to Medicare, what we just described?
Well, I mean, I suppose you could say every person who is able-bodied to work in North Dakota that chose not to and got kicked off of Medicaid, I think that's how you get to these sky is falling number, but I just don't believe that to be the case. I think most people, when they know what the requirements are, I mean, people meet the requirements for what for whatever entity they're in. So, no, I think it's smart policy.
if the total amount of dollars in federal health care programs, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, that go to North Dakota was block granted to you, A, would you need all those dollars to provide the services, or is there just all kinds of strings that cost money?
I'll talk to you about the one I talk about a lot, which is Department of Education. Because, I mean, those conversations are real right now, right? Secretary McMahon is talking about that. If you gave me two-thirds of the amount of money and no federal requirements and allowed states flexibility in how to utilize that money, we could save the federal government money and we would deliver services better.